Romans chapter 8, verse number 18, Paul writing to the church at Rome says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And to understand that that is twofold. Guys, we're looking forward to heaven, aren't we? We're looking forward not only for us to be there, but for those especially who have broken hearts and minds and bodies to be there, so that they'll be free of their burden. And so we look forward to all of us being home in glory. But that's not all he's talking about here. He's not just talking about heaven. Because you see, there's more to be revealed in us here. God does great and wonderful things through us and in us. And we can, as we read the Word of God, as we spend time with Him in that communion of prayer, as we spend time with His people, our lives change, our thinking changes, our speech changes, our behavior changes. And so we sung that song, This World Is Not My Home, and it's feeling more and more like that, isn't it? Now, why is that? Is it because the world's gone mad? Sure, that's part of it. But it's also because as we grow nearer to Him, we have less in common with those who don't. By the way, that's not just talking about the lost. That's also speaking of the saved. So those who are not in a pursuit of a spiritual walk, though they've trusted Christ, may be members of the church, but they're not pursuing God. They're not living a disciplined, biblical life. And so they begin to distance. We begin to outrun them, let's say, in this race that God has put us in. We begin to outpace them in our growth, in our development, in our maturity, so that it gets to the point where we really just don't have anything in common with them. Not as much anymore. And so we don't have much to talk about, because the things they want to talk about are worldly. And the things that they want to do are worldly. And the things that we want to do are spiritual or ministry or godly. And so there's this gap, this distance that grows, and it shows of who's really pursuing God and who's not. He says, I reckon that this present time, the present sufferings, the things that I'm going through right now can't be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. In other words, when I get on the other side of this obstacle, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be able to look back, and I'm going to be able to help people who are going through that trial that I went through. I'll be able to hold their hand and talk them through it, because I know the way. I've been there before. Again, I go back to what I said this morning. We all have stuff. But when we refuse to use that for ministry, it just becomes misery. And we got to take that misery and turn it into ministry. And I understand that. You say, well, I'm private and I don't like to talk about that. I understand that, especially when we're going through it. But once we get out of that valley, we need to help people that are going through that valley. And God's so smart, because He puts people in our church ahead of us. And so they have already made a way. They've pioneered the path. So that when we get there and we look and we say, oh, this doesn't look like I can survive it. I don't think I can do this. There's somebody who comes along and says, I've already blazed a trail for you. Come with me. I know the way. That's what church is about. And so I reckon that these sufferings that we are going through right now can't be compared. They're not worthy to be compared with what's on the other side. You know what we call that? Hope. Now, when we're going through it, if we get the mindset that this is how it's always going to be, we'll give up. I remember telling a lady in the church years ago, and she called me and she was going through some trial, and I said, what you're going through is just for now. It's not forever. By the way, she's come through that trial of her life and doing great. And I see that over and over again. But we got to have hope in the trial, in the burden, in the suffering is the word he used in verse number 18. But it's going to be revealed in us. Yes, when we get to eternity, even more glory is going to be revealed. And what a wonderful time that's going to be. But guys, we can't look that far ahead when we're going through our suffering. We got to see on the other side of this. I'm going to come through it. God's going to get me through it by the Holy Spirit. He's going to encourage me. My church is going to encourage me. My family is going to encourage me. And I'm going to get through this trial, this suffering. And I'm going to come out on the other side. I'll be all right. Hope. 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 Verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Subject to vanity. In other words, there are some things in this life that really don't matter, right? Some things that we focus on and we get upset about, and in a year we forget it even happened. Somebody will come to us and say, you remember that? And we, oh yeah, I remember that. But it's no longer top of mind awareness because we got over it. People will hurt us. And somebody will say, remember what they did to you? And you say, you know, I do remember that. I had forgotten it. Because we get past it, because we're looking forward. We have hope and we have forgiveness for the past. Not only did we receive forgiveness for the past, but we give forgiveness for the past. And we forgive people and we move on and we don't hold on to that. But we have that earnest expectation. He says in verse number 19. And then he says this. Did you see that next word? That other word in that verse? What is it? Waiteth. How many of you like to wait? No, we don't like to wait. Brother in the church called me the other day. And, well, what he said was devastating. Oh, I just prayed. Oh, Lord. Oh, I went to pray. It wasn't long till we had an answer. Oh, hallelujah. Because I tell you what they'll do. Those doctors run those tests, and those tests sit there. And they sit there, results are sitting there. Nobody calls. A week goes by and they say, oh, we need you to come in for an appointment. Oh, boy, now he wants to talk to me. By the time we get to the doctor, we've already figured out we're dying. The result's been sitting there for a week and a half, says everything's fine. Waiteth. Guys, we don't always know it's going to be fine. We don't always know the answer. And that period of waiting is the hard part, especially when it comes to these medical tests that could change our lives. Waiting. See that earnest expectation as we wait to get to heaven and we look forward to that time when there is no sin and there is no suffering. He says, waiteth. Waiteth. We got to wait. And so in that period of time, we're growing. In that period of time, our faith is tested. In that period of time, our patience is tested. And yes, we're subject to vanity. We're subject to things that really we shouldn't care about. As children of God, it shouldn't matter. But we're subject to it. And it says, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. In hope. There's got to be a period of time where we don't know, but we just hope. We just hope. I'm so glad that I'm not hoping for my salvation. I'm so glad I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I'm so glad that's already been secured. You see, it says in the letter that John wrote, he said that we can know that we are saved, that we know we have eternal life. I don't want to think I do. I don't want to hope I do. I know I have it. The Bible says I can know I have it, and I do. I know I have it. But he says in verse number 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. The bondage of corruption. We're in a battle, aren't we? We're in a battle if we're going to be depressed, if we're going to be discouraged, if we're going to let the things that are going on around us get to us, if we're going to be angry, if we're going to get sucked into arguments and debates that, again, don't matter. We're in that struggle. We're in that bondage with the world. I don't know if you ever deal with it, but sometimes we deal with laziness. And I'm not talking about being tired. We need to take a break. We need to take a rest. God gave us one day a week. He said, do nothing. Do nothing. And we need to do that. Take a day and do nothing. But we struggle with that. And I'm not talking about resting. I'm talking about being lazy. Every once in a while we should do something and we just don't feel like doing it. And procrastination. Right? It's not confession time, but how many of us deal with that on at least a semi-regular basis? We should do it, but we just don't want to do it. Don't feel like doing it. And so that's a burden and that's a struggle. And here he uses the term in verse number 21, bondage. And it's not the task that's binding us. but it's the procrastination that's binding us. If we just go ahead and get it done, it's over with. And just go ahead and jump into it and do it and be done. But he says in verse number 22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know what? I'm not the only one going through it. I'm not the only one that feels like I'm bound. I'm not the only one that has a struggle. I'm not the only one that's tempted. I'm not the only one that gets down and discouraged. And I'm not the only one that feels attacked sometimes. I'm not the only one that feels like I don't do enough for God. The whole world groaneth to this time right now. He says, you're not in it by yourself. You're not in it by yourself. That's why it's wonderful, again, to have a church where we can look around and we can see people who are going through what we've been through. And we can say, hey, they survived it. I can too. They got through it. So can I. And it's encouraging to have that. But in verse number 23, not only they, but ourselves also. Oh, us too. Paul, the missionary, great missionary, evangelist, Paul, great Christian, man of God. They too. Ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We're saying we have the Spirit of God living in us, right? I mean, I can't do anything God doesn't know about. He knows. And he talks to me, right? By his Spirit, he communicates with me through his Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. How many of you know that that groaning sometimes gets out of ourselves? He says we groan within. I know some groan without too. We groan within, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Boy, won't it be great? Won't it be great? Won't need any new knees up there, Brother Bob. Won't need any shots in our back up there. Won't need any stents or treatments or radiation. Won't need to go to the doctor for any. Now look, I believe there's going to be doctors in heaven. But they'll be out of business. Amen. That's great, isn't it? That's great. The redemption of our body. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope. We are saved by hope. You know what's sad to me is the people that don't get saved because they don't have hope. Sad to me. They've defeated themselves. They've given up. They've given in. They've decided there is no God. There is no hope. But he says here, we are saved by hope. We're looking forward to something better, aren't we? Looking forward to something better. But hope that is seen is not hope. All right? It's already there. We don't hope. We've already seen it. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. There's that word again, wait. There's that word. We have to learn to trust God while we're waiting. We pray about something big. Should we quit our job and get a different one? Should we get married? Should we move? And by the way, I've talked to the Lord about that anyway. So we pray about these things. And here's the thing. Until we have an answer, what do we have to do? Wait. Church called me years ago. I had resigned my church. I don't believe in candidating as a pastor for another church while you're still a pastor at this church. And when you're done, be done. And then you can put your name out there and see if anybody calls. And so church called, and I went there, and then they extended a call. They said, we want you to come here. And I said, well, let me pray about it. Great place, great people. Had a great day. And they called, and they said, well, we've voted to call you. I said, well, I'm going to pray about it. They called Wednesday night before church and said, well, I want to be able to go into church and give them an answer tonight. And I said, well, I'm praying about it. And they went to church that night, and then I think it was probably Saturday night, he called and he says, well, we want to be able to tell the church in the morning if you've accepted the call. And I said, I'm praying about it. He said, well, you got to give us an answer. I said, if you need an answer right now, the answer is no. Because until God tells me it's time to go there, I'm not going. And I said, it was a great day, and I enjoyed it, and I'll be glad to preach again. But till the Lord tells me that he's called me to that church as pastor, I can't tell you yes. Wait. Boy, we get impatient. We get impatient. And don't you love verse number 26? He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That word infirmities, just read it. What does it mean? Our weaknesses. That which is not strong. That which is not strong. He helps us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There's some things we miss. Even when we're praying really intently, really in communication and communion with God and that intimacy with God, and we're praying about some things, but we're going to miss them. One of the reasons I don't pray through the whole role of the church here is because I don't want to skip over somebody, and then you'll say, well, he doesn't pray for me every day. Now, he missed me in the list. But I can tell you where you are. Everybody, let me look around. Everybody in this room is on that list every day. Every day. But every once in a while, I get to the bottom of the list and I say, oh, I forgot this one. Throw it back in there. Even when we're really intimate with God in our prayer time and communion, and we're praying about it, not just naming their names, but naming their needs, and not just their needs, but the needs they've mentioned for their friends and family, and we're praying and we're trying to make sure we don't miss anything. And you know what? When we get done, the Holy Spirit says, okay, Father, he missed this one, he missed this one, he missed this one. And by the way, he doesn't even know about this one. But we need your help. He helps our infirmities. We know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's that time when we're with God. You ever just pray, but you got nothing to say? You're just with God, and that's that private communion with God, and you're pouring out your heart, and you're crying, and you're broken, and you're just out of words. But the Holy Spirit's not out of words. He's on our behalf. He's listening to what we need that we don't even know it. He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I know sometimes my will gets in my prayers, but the Holy Spirit corrects that before it gets there and makes it right. He talks about that hope back in verse number 25. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That hope keeps us going. When we don't consider our hopes, look, when we don't think about hope, when we don't have that positive outlook, our faith begins to waver. He said we're saved by hope. What keeps us going is hope. And if we don't get some hope in church, and if we don't get some hope in our songs, and if we don't get some hope in our home, and we don't get some hope in our days, then by the time Sunday rolls around, we're dragging ourselves back to church. Because our faith has gone stale and our hopes have gone stale, but we need great hope, fresh hope. We need stirred up hope. You know what we need? We need some people to encourage us. You have somebody that encourages you and tells you, hey, I'm here for you. I said to somebody today, if there's anything I can do, let me know. And she said, well, that's good, because that's the reason I came. I need some help. That's good. And I was able to help her get what she needed. But we need to have people around us that can encourage us, that can build us up. And I appreciate those who encourage me in this room tonight. Have you read verse 28? Don't you love verse 28? All things work together. We know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know what he does after this? He goes on to tell us we're all called. That's what he did. So what's the question? The question is, do we love God? We know we're called. We know God had a plan. We know God laid out the plan. You know God equipped us to fulfill His plan. So the only question is, do we love God? All things work together for good to them that love God, them which are the called according to His purpose. So we know we're called, but do we love God? All things. Brother Derek, I got this that happened in my life. Now, how can that work to good? Well, I can tell you how. We've already talked about it. But there's other people suffering through what you've been through. Let me say this. It doesn't say God made that happen. But it says God can turn it out for good. I'm going to tell you something. If it's against God, if it's against the Word of God, if it's sin, I guarantee you it didn't come from heaven. It came from the evil heart of a devilish person or situation. But God in heaven can take that awful crisis, that traumatic experience, and put it over here in verse 28 in the all things and make it work for good. He can turn it around. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so, yes, that's talking about Jesus, but it's also talking about all, because who did He foreknow? He foreknew you and me. He foreknew all. He knew we were going to be here. He foreknew us. And every one of us He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Every one of us, not just in this room, but everybody that hath breath. God had a plan. What He won't do is impose His plan. He laid it out. He made everything exactly the way it would be for our success in His calling and in His purpose. But it's up to us if we're going to fulfill it. Whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. Them He also called. What did it say in verse number 28? Those who are the called. And so that's talking about everybody that loves Him, everybody that gets saved. Those who are the called. It's for everybody, but this is only going to work for those that love Him. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. He gave us a purpose. He gave us a plan. He designed us. He will use us if we will be used. But nobody has to be. In fact, nobody has to get saved. But if you or I or anyone else goes to hell, of all the people we can blame, we can't blame God. Because He laid it all out for us. What shall we say? I love verse 31. Notice I said about every verse. Verse 31. Let this encourage you. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? You ever walk up to one of them little ankle biters that really thought he was something? And you just laughed at him. You said, what do you think you're going to do to me? And then you see some big old bulldog or Doberman or Rottweiler, big dogs, or German Shepherd, them big dogs. They start coming to you, stand and laugh at them. No. No, you run. Climb a tree. Here's what happens. Them little ankle biters come along and you just go, not worried about that. But then this real force shows up. Guys, what he's saying here is we got a real force on our side. We got God. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be it? Why should we be afraid? Who can stand against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You say, well, I just don't think God would do that for me. Hold on just a second. You understand he gave his son for you? Let me guarantee you something. If it's for your good, if it's for your benefit, if there is a purpose in it, God will make it happen. But sometimes there's things that we don't see that God sees. And so we've got it all figured out. And we say, God, this is what I want you to do. And God looks at our plan. He says, that plan won't work. I'm not going to do this. It'll backfire on you. You may think you got it figured out, but you don't. And so you know what God says? No. I'm not going to give this to you. I'm not going to do this for you. Because it's not going to work. How many of you ever had that happen and you did something you thought was going to work and it didn't work? And so when we pray, why is it any different? Understand, God wants it to work. He wants us to have success in His purpose. And if He spared not His own Son, God's not short-handing us. He's not short-changing us. He's not holding Him back. He's not cutting corners. God would give us everything. Remember David? David got in trouble. Nathan came and the whole story. And Nathan says, David, God said, I've given you everything. If you needed something else, just ask. Instead of taking it. Instead of going your own way. Verse 35. We'll read these verses. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Does God stop loving me because I go through tribulation? Or distress? Does God stop loving me when I'm in persecution? When I'm being persecuted? Or when I'm hungry or broke, he says nakedness. Or when there's war, peril, or sword, when there's disruption, when there's corruption, did God stop loving me? Is that why everything's gone wrong in the world? Verse 36, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted for sheep, as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. No matter what you're going through, He still loves you. That's hard for us to understand, isn't it? That is the biggest mystery of the Bible. Why does God love me? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sometimes we get discouraged. God still loves us. Sometimes we mess up. And God still loves us. He loves us. But understand something. Just because He loves us doesn't mean He excuses or embraces our sin. That's the thing that people have to remember. Because sin is destructive. And God doesn't, He loves us. But He doesn't want us drinking poison. He loves us, but He doesn't want us playing with rattlesnakes. That's all I got for that one. Huh? He loves us, but He does not want us destroying ourselves or our fellow man. And He's going to work all things together. But hey, let's not make it too hard for Him. He'll work all things together for good. We don't always see it while we're in it. But if we'll take the time to look back on all of that misery and all of those struggles, we'll see that we learned something, we grew, we made new connections and formed better relationships. It developed us so that now we are capable to face the things that are going on today. It made us who we are. Let's stand. Father, we love You so much. And we know the needs are great. We know the burdens are heavy. And we know You are able. And for that, we're so thankful. So God, hear our burdens, hear our prayers. Those cries, those groanings of intercession. We need you. And I pray that you'll use this message, your word in our lives, to make a difference, not only for us, but for those who you set in our path that we can minister and help, we can love. Dismiss us now with your grace. Bring us back together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.